Well,
that's a hell of a way to start a show, ain't it?
Well, the Coach's Office Sports Podcast is back at you today again. However, we went narrowed down from 4-2.
Yeah, prior engagements, I guess, with the other two guys. But we're not going to quit on you. We're going to keep coming. We're going to keep bringing whatever content.
Bringing the heat, baby.
Whatever content you want us to bring to you, which obviously is sports because you're listening to the show. We're going to keep bringing it. We do have to come to you a day early because...
just coaching duties.
Yeah, the life of a coach, man. We were actually talking about that before the show is... yeah, sometimes things are unexpected and you have to move stuff around. So today the podcast got moved around. Instead of our normal Wednesday, we're hitting you up on a Tuesday.
All right, let's get into it then. Quick recap of last week. Alabama narrowly escapes LSU at home. LSU is kind of the rival island. I mean, they always play each other tough.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, a lot of people are all, oh, Alabama's not Alabama. Like, no, it's LSU. Like, it's a big rivalry game. Like, that's going to happen.
One of those teams can be garbage and the other one can be Alabama, right? And, you know, I was using that as like a metaphor, but it actually is
works.
A part of the conversation. But one of those teams can be bad and the other one can be great, and they're still going to play each other close because those two, like you said, that's a rival. Those guys hate each other. Whether it's in Baton Rouge or in Tuscaloosa, it's going to be a game.
It's always close. Same thing with like Alabama and Auburn.
Yeah, you can never not watch the Iron Bowl.
It's fucking Iron Bowl. Purdue upsets Michigan State, handing them their first loss of the season. Nolan right now would be going fucking crazy in this chair.
Yeah, man, we were all kind of high there on Michigan State for a little bit. Mm-hmm.
I should have known to take Purdue, too, because I always fucking say this. After a goddamn good win comes a bad loss.
Yes.
Or a shitty play, and in which, for Michigan State's case, was that literally, you beat Michigan, and then this shit happens.
Did Michigan State play bad, or did Purdue just play the best football game that they're probably going to play for the next 10 years? Because,
I think a little bit of both. Like,
I heard the argument.
Purdue upset someone in the top 10 almost every fucking year.
They have like 3 or 4 wins against ranked opponents or like upsets already just this year.
Yeah. Usually it's like in their case, it's either usually like Michigan or Ohio State. One of them is usually kind of up there early on.
Yeah.
Which for the past couple of years, it had been Ohio State, right? But then like Purdue always plays them close. Freaking, what was it last year or 2 years ago when Rondale Moore like went off for them? They like beat them like 44-20 or something like that. Like, I mean, they usually do it, and they play Ohio State this weekend, by the way, too. I don't know if it's at home or in Columbus, but...
you know what they say, after a big game comes a big letdown.
Yeah.
Let's see if Purdue can keep it rolling or not.
They stormed the field, so I mean, it might have been like their Super Bowl win right now.
Nolan's not here, so I guess I can kind of shit on Purdue a little bit.
Well, because Purdue fucking sucks.
If they're playing Ohio State next week, they're not coming out of there with a win, because Ohio State is rolling right now.
And Ohio State, if I'm not mistaken, had a pretty tough win this week against Wisconsin?
Nebraska. Let's finish the recap, Rick, because I want to bring this full circle with this Nebraska thing. I have a huge point to this here in a minute, and I'm going to get to it. But before we do that, UNC knocked off Wake Forest. We were just hyping up Wake Forest about how they don't get credit, the ACC's garbage. Clemson's not up there, so no one's going to get credit. Well, I guess we just found out why. Because Mac Brown put it to Wake Forest like only Mac Brown can.
Did you see that with Wake Forest being ranked in the top 10 last week? That was the first. Now every single Power 5 school has been ranked in the top 10.
I did not know that. They were the only ones
The only ones in the Power 5 schools that had not been ranked inside the top 10.
Like ever?
Like ever.
That's an amazing stat. I did not know
that. I saw that last week, and it just blew my mind.
Well, I mean, kind of think about it. What do I know Wake Forest for? I know Wake Forest because fucking Tim Duncan
baby.
Wake Forest. That's why I know Wake Forest. So, I mean, it's kind of believable, but that's still just an amazing stat. Like, everybody has been
except for them. Yeah, that was pretty insane. Only 4 teams remain unbeaten, and that is Georgia, Oklahoma, Cincinnati, and of all schools, The University of Texas at San Antonio.
Yeah, man, you know, and three of those four are getting no respect by the college football playoff rankings.
Yeah.
It seems like. You know, some of these other games may kind of affect it a little bit, whether teams won or lost. But, yeah, man, four undefeated teams left. Pretty late in the season for there still to be four. I don't have a stat on this or anything, you know. I am the guy that comes in with 12 pages of notes and rips them in half halfway through the podcast. But
now you just have six.
Yeah.
You just cut it in half.
I just have six now. But, you know, four teams left and only one of them is even in the playoff right now. Like,
yeah, as it stood, teams. Yeah. Well, it does come out again when tonight, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
At about 7. So that's, for us, that's here in about another hour. Hopefully we're done by then. I think we should be done by then. So we'll be able to watch that and not break it to you. Well, not break it to you because you're going to see this later on, but you already know. But
it's not going to be live. That would be badass.
That would be badass. If we were live, I feel like this show would get many hits.
Yeah, we'd probably get some callers, probably get some positive and negative calls if this thing was live. I know.
I feel like we get a lot of stupid calls like in there. Like, people would just try to fuck with us.
I feel like we would get people calling and just hanging up for no reason.
Like, maybe because that's what we do.
That seems to be a thing with us. But so what you said about Ohio State playing Nebraska, this poses my question for college football for right now. Do you think that the last week's slate of games, along with feedback from the people, because people absolutely shit on these
dude,
rankings.
They like, it blew up everywhere on how shitty these things
everybody
are.
Everybody shit on this. Will that influence the rankings? Because, and I know this is going to make me sound like a homer, and I really don't give a shit. Oklahoma was dogged, right? Listen to me now. This is where the notes come in, baby. Oklahoma was dogged because early in the year, they beat Nebraska. Tough game. 23-16. Yes. Beat them by 7.
Yes.
Tough game. And we're still playing Spencer, whatever his goddamn last name is, I don't remember.
Your Heisman favorite.
I blocked him out of my memory.
Your Heisman favorite. You can call him that. Your Heisman favorite.
Ohio State just beat Nebraska 26-17. That's only 9 points. We beat them by 7. They beat them by 9.
Here's the difference in that, I think. One's a conference game. The other one's not.
One of us has no losses. The other one has a loss.
But yes, what I'm saying, as in, like, that's a conference game. They see each other every year. Like, they're always going to play each other tough. Like,
Nebraska and Oklahoma is technically a rivalry still. I know we don't play them like we used to play them.
You play them once every fucking 12 years now.
That's still, like, a rivalry, man.
A rivalry is not someone you play once every 6 years. Like A&M Texas right now, that's not a rivalry.
If you
it will be.
If you look up Oklahoma rivalries, I guarantee you Nebraska's on the list.
Oh, fucking everybody's Oklahoma's rival because everybody fucking hates Oklahoma because Oklahoma's shitty and a shit state. And anybody who lives there deserves to have another life in another state where they can be happy.
Sorry, Caleb, if you listen to this, he didn't mean that.
Oh, I did mean that, and he's definitely not listening. But I don't know. I think in conference rivals or in conference in general is always gonna play each other tough. Like TCU plays Oklahoma pretty tough every year. Texas pretty tough every year. Like, and then they'll go play like freaking University of freaking Coastal Bend or something, and they'll, you know, get blown out or something. You know what I mean? Like, or they'll blow somebody else out. You know what I mean? It's just, no matter how good or bad TCU is on the year, like, those schools are always going to play each other tough.
I get the conference thing. I really do. But if Nebraska's as shitty of an opponent, Jesus Christ, speak. If they're as shitty of an opponent as everybody said they were whenever they were dogging Oklahoma and that was a reason that they were left out of the top four, then that should be a reason that Ohio State should not maybe get as much recognition now as they were a week prior.
Okay, so if I think of Ohio State plays Texas this week, it's a blowout. It's not even close. Like, it's,
I don't know, man.
Dude,
I don't
it's
know.
A blowout. And I'm a Texas fan, I'm telling you that. I think it's a blowout. But Oklahoma barely beat Texas. It took them, you know, scoring with 4 seconds left to beat them.
Yeah, I mean,
conference games matter.
You're not wrong.
Conference games
do matter, which is a reason why I'm happy that, you know, our toughest slate is at the end of the year. And by we, I mean Oklahoma, in case you people don't know that yet, if you haven't figured that out. I'm glad that our tougher slate is still coming up, because if we were playing some of those slack teams, then we definitely wouldn't get any recognition. But we still have Baylor. We still have Oklahoma State. We still have to go to Ames, play Iowa State. So, or no, actually, I think we play Iowa State at home this year. Thank God, because they always seem to upset us whenever we go up there.
Usually, yeah.
So, all of our tougher games are in front of us, so we should get some recognition from those. But I was just wondering about that, man, because if two teams play the same team really close, you would think that the one that's undefeated would get a little bit more recognition than the one that has a loss.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. UTSA can make that same argument.
How do you figure?
They didn't beat Mississippi State, but like they beat schools that beat Mississippi State, and like Mississippi State has beat really good schools.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's a good question.
It all goes around. It's crazy.
You know, and people have been saying it since this thing came out, and you know, I hate to want to say that it's true, but it kind of all goes back to money, right?
Like, oh yeah, ratings, money.
College football wants to make money, and they're gonna put the teams in the playoff.
Yo, who's gonna fucking make money in that thing?
Alabama's gonna make money.
Oklahoma, Georgia and Ohio
money.
State.
Ohio State.
You can almost mark my words; those are gonna be the four in the fucking playoff.
And if that were to happen, Rick, that would not surprise me one single bit, unless, like I've been saying, Alabama loses to Georgia in the SEC title.
Yes, that would be the only way. That would be, I think, the only way Alabama does not get in.
But if they lose. We're not to the conference championships yet. We still have a few weeks, and we have some pretty good games here this week that we're going to talk about. The first one that's on my list is Oklahoma at Baylor. This is a big game for Oklahoma. This is a big game for Baylor. Baylor's coming in, 7-2. Oklahoma's 9-0, yeah. But Baylor's still ranked.
They just had a bad loss, didn't they?
Oh yeah, they did.
TCU. Coachless TCU just beat them, but
they were also fired up because of the Gary Patterson.
Yeah,
firing,
TCU. You know? It was gonna go one of two ways. They're either gonna somehow pull that game off, or they're gonna get blown out.
So get this stat right here. It's in Waco, which that doesn't surprise me, or it doesn't scare me.
It should.
What surprises me is that whenever I looked at this on ESPN, they have the top passer, the top rusher, and the top receiver of the game off to the side a little bit. All three of those guys play for Baylor, which, I mean, granted, we had a quarterback switch in the middle of the year, but that's still pretty surprising considering the firepower that Oklahoma, especially in the past, maybe not so much this year, but the firepower offensively that Oklahoma's had. That's pretty crazy.
Damn. Yeah, that is pretty good. That's going to be a good game to watch, I think. I think that could be Oklahoma's statement game. Like, you go blow them out, and people will be like, damn. Like, maybe Spencer Rattler, goddamn. See, you got me saying maybe Caleb Williams is the answer. And Oklahoma just freaking steamrolls. You know what I mean? Like, they finally get that respect. One game I have on my radar this week is Michigan at Penn State.
Mm.
Penn State, always one of those tricky teams, man. You just never know how they play. Sometimes they play good. Sometimes they play bad. They started off the year hot.
And then real hot.
I mean, recently they've just shit the bed. They played one of the worst football games I've ever seen in my life. And it went to 9 overtimes. And I was like, please end.
Yes.
And then Michigan. You know, Michigan only has one loss. And it was to Michigan State, which Michigan State, I mean, it didn't help Michigan's cause that Michigan State just lost this past week to Purdue. But it could help them if, hey, you took on Michigan State when they were red hot. Yes, you lost. Mm-hmm. Then you turn around and you steamroll everybody else. Like,
yeah. They could make the
argument way back in there
that they started the Michigan State downfall, I guess.
Yeah.
And just after that loss, they could never recover in Michigan if they keep rolling.
Keep rolling from it, yeah.
They have a shot. They have an outside shot, but it's still a shot.
Yeah. Of course, their biggest game is yet to come, and that's the game. But that
literally
the game. Yeah. They can't look too far ahead. Penn State's, like I said, Penn State's one of those tricky teams. I'm not sure if it's a night game or not. Usually like the whiteout, but I know they had the whiteout when they played Auburn.
So. I'm sure that it's, you're talking about the Michigan and
Penn State
game.
Yeah.
That is an 11 a.m. kickoff. Just like Oklahoma and Baylor, both 11 a.m. kickoffs.
Oh, shit.
And the reason for that, considering the fact that the other two guys aren't here today, me and Coach both got another game to watch, just in case y'all are wanting a little bit more action. You know, we each got another one. My next one to watch is NC State at Wake Forest.
Now, the Wolfpack.
We did just talk about Wake Forest, and the only reason that I know them is because of Tim Duncan. But they do have a guy back there slinging the rock named Sam Hartman.
Is that the one that was on
QB1?
He's on
QB1.
Damn.
Dude's a stud.
Yeah,
pretty good. Sam Hartman can fling it a little bit. He's coming in with 2,800 yards passing and 27 touchdowns. He flings the rock for Wake Forest. Now, they did just lose, so now they have to rebound against a pretty solid 7-2 NC State team. So that's a big one, I think, to watch this weekend if you're needing a game. And that one will be a 6:30 p.m. kickoff.
Nice. Yeah, I think Wake Forest needs this as a bounce-back game. I don't think they find their way into the playoff now that they lost a game and it's Wake Forest.
I think now they're just fighting for the conference championship.
Yeah, fight conference championship, New Year's Six game, yeah. I think. But it'll be good to see how they respond to that as a whole, you know. Last game I have on my radar here is Texas A&M at Ole Miss.
I feel like Texas A&M is on our game to watch for the last 4 weeks.
Yeah.
They just keep playing ranked teams.
Yeah, I mean, well, the fuck, they play in the SEC. So the SEC is obviously favored. So every SEC team is probably ranked, even the shitty ones. I wouldn't be surprised if Vandy somehow ends the year at number 25. Just because it's fucking, they're in the SEC.
South Carolina at 23, baby.
Yeah, like some crazy stuff like that. But A&M kind of still in that hope for maybe like a conference championship. It's a long shot.
Yeah,
they have to run the table. And
I think Alabama has to lose to Auburn.
Yes.
And
then
A&M has to run the table. And they can get into the SEC championship because they have that head-to-head against Alabama.
And Ole Miss.
Now, if they do happen to get in there, they're going to get steamrolled by Georgia probably.
And that's as good as you're going to get as a two-way conference championship.
But that's not bad considering, you know, A&M has already lost two games. If they can get to that conference title game, that's going to be big for them. And it all starts this week at Ole Miss.
Yeah, and I think A&M, for their part, we all wrote them off when they got those few losses early on. And then they were playing Alabama, and we're like, this is like, we were expecting Alabama to go in there, dick stomp them, and then A&M season was shot.
Right.
And that game looked like it just changed their whole perspective of their season.
They realized that they were a good football team.
Yeah, like Cazada was like, oh yeah, I could fucking sling this thing and be decent at it. And it just blew my mind how like they were able to turn that around from a win that was supposed to be an upset.
Absolutely. So pretty good slate of games this weekend as far as college football goes. I'm sure there's some more, and you know, we don't mention every team every week. We probably don't ever mention your team, just in general, people that are listening to the show. But, you know, there's more than just these four. But these four are all solid teams, all winning records, all have something on the line, at least a little bit here, conference championship or better. So these are the four, man. These are going to be the ones that I'm definitely keeping my eye on this week.
Yeah, keep your eye on these. Next, we're going to go and talk into some NFL.
Okay, yeah, I can't do that.
All right, so the reason Smith had to awfully sing that was because we were having to use my phone to record our podcast today, since we usually use Alvarez or Nolan's. Neither of them are here, and I'm the sound effects guy. So don't shit on my sound effects if you've been listening. But we had to do that, so we weren't able to use my phone for the sound effects, mainly because we're using it to record.
Yeah, that's why you're not going to get any of your shut up bitches or, no, or any of the music that kind of goes along with this. You're not going to get that, mainly because it's kind of hard to do this with two people whenever one of the people that are here do not have an iPhone, and I'm not going to point any fingers at anybody, but
it's not me.
I'm pointing the finger back at myself. Yeah, that's a mistake on my part.
Which reminds me, before we get into our NFL talk, last week you might have heard like a little buzzing in the first half of our podcast, and we could not figure out what it was. We kept trying multiple things, like maybe it's this, maybe it's that, maybe it's the microphone. We were like, screw it, it's probably the microphone. Probably got some like real cheap ones, whatever. finally, we were like, I think it's the phones. So we all like.
And of course, whenever that was brought up, I was one that was like, nah, man, there's no way it's the phones. That can't be a possibility.
Yeah. So we all like remove our phones and like it's still there. And then we kept our phones there. Smith moved his phone.
I picked mine up to start texting. And it got worse.
It got worse. So then he moved his phone completely out.
Let's say what really happened. I threw my phone across.
Well, you moved it away first. And then we were like, yeah, it's your phone. And then he threw his phone all the way across my living room.
Yeah. And I have an OtterBox. So no breaks on the screen that weren't previously there. So that's just a little, you know, too big. Because like I said, man, there's only two of us. This thing is going to drag and it's going to go slow. We're here to entertain.
We are here.
We're here to talk about sports, but we're also here to entertain you. We're going to have a little bit of this back and forth. It may happen. Who knows? This episode may be 2 hours long, Rick, because we may just be talking and just
I'm okay with that.
Off. I can do this forever. I don't know when to shut the fuck up most of the time anyways. So let's roll into...
Especially on Saturdays after a win for us on Friday nights.
Oh, yeah. I'm on a roll usually. I get pretty fired up. And anytime anybody says anything, I just completely downgrade them and just... shit all over everybody.
So if you think Coach Valero was wrong or questioned it last week when he was like, Smith, you were like crying, like, that's literally how he is on Saturdays. He's like real whatever, talking stuff about you, and then he just jumps at you. It's insane.
Yeah, it's either 100% silence and focus, or it's off the wall ridiculousness. As far as I'm concerned,
it's awesome. We love Saturdays.
And it's entertainment. It's entertainment. It is. And everybody laughs, and it's a good time. It's at my expense, but, you know, I don't mind being laughed at.
And we've talked for 3 minutes and 20 seconds about our personal lives and not the NFL, so no, let's get it.
I think it's okay that we do this sometimes, man. The people want to know what we are, who we are. This is how we let them know.
Now they're
I think they're going to be a little bit more connected to me and you now, personally, than they are the other two. So whenever we start getting the tweets like, hey, we need more Guerra, we need more Smith, get rid of those two old guys.
Yeah.
This is probably going to be the reason.
And be like, isn't it past those guys' bedtime or something?
Yeah, get them off the project. But no, so let's go into the NFL, Rick. So many starting quarterbacks had shitty weeks, dude.
It was just awful. Like, so many bad teams winning and so many good teams losing and... fuck Jacksonville. Just fucking... You would have never thought they were going to win another game all year.
Well, let's just listen to these couple of things.
Like, if Detroit would have had a game this week, they probably... No, who am I kidding? They would have lost.
Yeah, Detroit.
But it would have been close.
Detroit's Detroit. They would have lost on like a last second field goal or something.
Yeah, like a 67-yarder or 69-yarder or whatever.
Dak Prescott. Playing his ass off this year. 48% completions this week. Sam Darnold. 49% completion. 3 interceptions. Matthew Stafford, 2 picks, but just terrible decisions.
All around.
Going down, throwing it over the back of his shoulder, some weird flip shit that gets intercepted.
And it was weird how the Titans had just did that to the Colts week before. Carson Wentz had literally did that, almost the exact same play, where they were spinning him around, about to be a sack, and he just chunks it.
Maybe it's one of Tennessee's defensive plays. Draw that up. Offenses in the AFC. Crazy. Joe Burrow played bad. I don't have stats on him, but he didn't play as well as Joe Burrow's been playing. And then
he had a 99-yard pick six on
him. Tyrod Taylor comes back and throws 3 interceptions for Houston, but we all know
Davis Mills.
Houston's a fucking dumpster fire.
Who's that quarterback.
We all know that. They're not gonna win. It's just
Put in Mox back there. See what that dude gunslinger can do.
Bad quarterback play all throughout the NFL this week, and it's insane.
I think it was just bad play all around. Like, this whole week was weird. Like, normally, so we do a pick'ems, me and like some friends of ours and stuff, and usually the winners right around, like, if it's a 14-game week, usually the winners around are like 12, 11. I think our winner this week was like at 9.
Hard to pick some.
I think like 8, no, the person who won like 8 or 7 was like second place or whatever. Like, yeah, what?
You're going to sit here and tell me that you picked Jacksonville to beat Buffalo? Yeah, no one picked that.
No one picked
that. You are lying out of your ass if you're going to sit here and tell me that.
Yeah, and then there was another one too that was like pretty bad that we were like, yeah, nobody picked that game, and it happened. I think we had like one guy pick Denver,
But
and
they
the
don't think
only
anybody picked Denver to beat
and yeah,
Dallas.
and the
That
only
was
reason they picked
big.
Denver is because they probably hate Dallas. Like it was probably nothing like they weren't really thinking Denver was gonna win.
Yeah, I bet I guarantee that was because
It was a straight hate Dallas pick.
the Dallas thing, what was the line on Dallas? Like 10 or
10.
11?
Yeah, it was
And I was
10.
like, oh, Dallas is gonna cover that easy. They're gonna beat
Especially with
Denver
Dak
by they're
back.
gonna beat Denver by 20. Oh,
Yeah.
not so fast, my friend.
Yeah, just, ah, man, it was just terrible all around. Real tough if you're a Cowboys fan or a Texans fan or a good team fan. I don't know. Like, if you, most of the people have good teams. We all root kind of for good teams. And it was bad all around. I mean, the Vikings, you're a Vikings fan, they actually played fairly well.
They Baltimore's pretty good football team.
Yeah.
They've shit the bed a little bit lately, but they're still a good football team.
They have a pretty tough schedule. Like their
Whenever
losses
Lamar
have.
Jackson outthrows your quarterback and outruns your running back, you're
You're
probably
probably
gonna
gonna
lose,
lose.
and that's what he did to Minnesota. Although it did go to overtime, almost to the wire, almost ended up at a tie, and they ended up scoring there at the end
Yeah.
to kind of seal that one. But yeah, my Vikings are not good. They're middle of the road to below average. And you said, like you said, everybody roots for good teams for the most part, but Nolan roots for the Bears.
Oh,
I
you're
know that
right.
they're I
I
know
completely forgot about Nolan's
they
shitty
are
Bears.
3-6, but
Last night was kind of a shit show, though. We'll get more into
the
that. All
Bears are
right.
bad, man. The Bears are bad.
Yeah, Bears pretty
So
bad.
let's talk about divisions, man. We're about halfway through the season. Week 9 just passed us up. We're going, new schedule, 17 games. So we're technically around that halfway point or right past it. There's some divisions that are very, very tight and very competitive. And there are some divisions where there's a leader and
And then there's the
that's
rest of the
it.
guys.
Just off the top right now, I'm looking at the NFC East. Dallas is sitting there at 6-2, even with that horrendous loss to Denver. Second place team there is Philadelphia at 3-6. Dallas has a 3.5 game lead over the second place team in that division. I don't
Yeah.
see any of those guys in the NFC
No.
East coming to try to take that throne away from Dallas at this point.
Yeah, no, I think it's the Cowboys division. I think last week was just one of those mishap games. Happens every now and then, especially in the NFL. I mean, but then again, it happened for freaking New York. New York beat freaking the Raiders. Like nobody saw that coming.
If
Like,
you're gonna sit there and tell me that you picked the Giants to beat the Las Vegas Raiders, you're a liar.
yeah, like that's not happening. A really good division is the AFC North, and
Yes.
like. The Bengals last 2 weeks ago were the number one seed in the conference.
At 5-2.
At 5-2, they were the
Yeah.
number one seed in the conference. Now they are last place in their division.
They dropped two games in a row, still have a winning record, and they're sitting at fourth in
Fourth
their
place,
division.
yes.
You have Cleveland right there with them at 5-4. Pittsburgh right above them just because they've had their bye week already at 5-3, and then Baltimore at 6-2. Man, that's gonna be a dog fight in those late division games for those guys. That's gonna be a fun division to watch.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, and then you have like the AFC West that's still pretty good. I mean, the Chiefs aren't what the Chiefs are that we're used to, I guess you could say. But they still have a winning record. They're 5-4. They did just beat a Aaron Rodgers-less Packers team that had Jordan Love starting for them, which Jordan Love looked
This is just for Nolan,
not very
since
good.
Nolan's not here. Fuck Aaron Rodgers. But
Yeah, oh, he would be all over you right now. He'd be agreeing with
continue.
you. You know what I mean? And like it was an ugly game, but it was a win. A win's a win, no matter who you
Right.
play, how you get
Yeah.
it done. They're 5-4, and they're tied for fourth in their division with the Broncos, who just picked up their fifth win. They are also 5-4. You know what I mean? Like the Chargers and the Raiders essentially split right now, but they're only one game ahead of both of those teams.
Half a
They're
game.
both a half a game, yeah, because they're both 5-3. They both had their byes, like. That division, like as much as we wanted to root off, like count the Chiefs out, hey, they're fucking done.
Yeah, they're still
Like,
right there in the
because
mix.
yeah, the Chargers were playing good ball, the Raiders were playing good ball. We were like, hey, write Kansas City off. They're gonna hope for a freaking that they're gonna make the wild card and they're gonna be on the road. Like, they might win that division if they
Yeah,
ever decide to get it figured out.
it's
Like,
possible. Anything's a possibility. If there was a chance that you could have a four-sided coin, I'd say flip that son of a bitch. Four-sided coin. Flip that son of a bitch, and whatever it lands on, that's who's going to win the division. That's how it kind of is at this point. Another one like that NFC East, though, is the AFC South, which I kind of saw taking a fall after Derrick Henry went down for Tennessee, but they're still sitting there at 7-2, and Tennessee's on a five-game heater. They've won five in a row. Now, granted, they threw a little bit more than they normally do. They did sign Adrian Peterson, who you said wasn't going to play.
Because he was on their practice squad. Dude
got 10 carries. He only got scored 20-something yards, but my boy got a tub, which was his 125th touchdown of all time. That's
pretty impressive.
There's either only 11 or 7. I can't remember which number.
I want to say it was 7.
That have scored 125 touchdowns in their career.
I want to say it was 7.
And AD, my guy.
Is one of those.
For the past 20 years, he's been my guy. Is one of those guys.
For you young bucks that don't know why that is his guy. Two reasons, really.
Number one, he was a true freshman at Oklahoma in 2003 and set the freshman rushing record in the NCAA at 1,925 yards. How do I know that off the top of my head?
I was about to say, for those of y'all that are not, I mean, you guys can't be here, he looked right at me and said that number. There's no paper in front of him that has that number.
Yeah, 1,925 yards as a freshman playing at Oklahoma on a really good team with Jason White, who could fucking sling the rock. Now, granted, they lost the Big 12 title and the national championship that year, but I don't want to talk about that. But, you know, 125 touchdowns, that's elite territory. That's Hall of Fame territory. If I had roses and Adrian Peterson was sitting next to me, I'd give them to him because that's an accomplishment. Nobody thought he was going to play this year. He thought he was going to play this year. You know, there was an article.
With the Ravens, right? Because the Ravens didn't have any running backs.
Well, he thought he might go there, but he got offered to go on Dancing with the Stars. And they were going to pay him $350,000 to be on the show. And then $150,000 every week that he advanced. So if you make it far, that's a pretty hefty payday. That's a lot of money.
Probably close to a mil.
I don't think I could turn that money down. And he turned it down because he said, I'm going to get signed. I need to train.
And he did.
And he did get signed.
Not the team he thought was going to sign him, but he got signed nonetheless.
If you're going to sit here and tell me you knew that Tennessee was going to sign Adrian Peterson, you're a liar. But there's a couple more divisions that are pretty tight. NFC West, it's like a two-man race right now. But
yeah, that whole
Arizona and LA are sitting at the top, 8-1 and 7-2 respectively. The Seahawks, I mean, they're pretty bad this year. And San Francisco, sorry, Coach Ward, but they're not the best either right now.
Yeah, they're pretty shitty. They just lost to the Cardinals without Kyler Murray or DeAndre Hopkins. Chase Edmonds goes out super early in the game. They're stuck with James Conner and only James Conner, and you still get beat by Colt McCoy, by the way.
Fucking give Colt McCoy flowers, man.
If there was roses, if I had roses, I'd give them to Colt McCoy right now.
Yeah, you know what? As much of a Texas hater as I claim to be, you've heard me give my respect to Coach Brown. I love me some Matt Brown. I love Colt McCoy, man. I loved watching that guy play college football. And I'm pretty
sure Colt McCoy was a dude, man.
He beat my Sooners a couple of times.
Yeah.
But I do remember in that national championship game against Alabama, if Colt McCoy does not go out,
they win that game.
They win that game, and they win that national championship. Yeah. Was that 2009, 2010?
It was the 2008 season to 2009 was when the championship was played.
Yeah, Texas should have been the national champions that year.
I think Alabama still, because that's what essentially was started Alabama's dynasty.
That was their first one. That Saban had. He had been there for like 2 or 3 years at that point.
Yeah.
And that was the first
I still think that Alabama dynasty happens. It just doesn't start that year.
No.
I think because Colt Texas McCoy goes stays out. In, yes.
He balls. Texas wins. Matt gets his second one. They ride off into the sunset with the national championship. Colt McCoy's, you know, curtain call, which should have happened, but,
didn't.
You know, that was 12 years ago. I guess we can't really.
People don't forget.
Okay, we can't really sit on that one too much.
All right, so let's get into our good, our bad, and our ugly. Are you going to read Nolan's, or are you just going to do yours and I do mine?
Because
Nolan did put something in here for
I'm going to read Coach Nolan's. I'm just going to kind of skim through it. His good was the Arizona Cardinals, partially because what we just talked about. Colt McCoy comes in, backup quarterback.
Essentially your backup running back, your best receiver's out.
Balls out, and Arizona wins. That proves to me that Arizona's a good football team, a really good football team, because when your three dudes on offense go out and you still go out there and win a game, no matter who you're playing against,
that's impressive.
That's a good sign. His bad was the Bengals. They're on a two-game losing streak. They were, like you said earlier also, they were at the top of the whole AFC, two-game losing streak. Joe Burrow didn't play very well. They're his bad. And then his ugly, which you're probably going to have to register that to me because I did not watch that football game last night.
Oh, okay, yeah. He put the
Tony
officials.
Tony Cornette officiating. Or is that how you say that guy's name? Cornetti? Or
I don't know, but he's probably the most talked about guy in America
today. He must be Italian.
He must be. I don't know. He could be Texan. A little Texan accent.
I don't know at this point.
Like a.
But Tony. Apparently, like there were some bad calls.
That's pretty awful, man. Game. It was pretty awful.
Explain that to me.
So there was, there was just like some taunting that was just like, come on, man. Like, it was bad. There was a couple of times, man, like Justin Fields gets rid of the ball, you know, a second and a half later, freaking just gets drilled in the back and like nothing. Like, it was just, oh well. And I think even Justin Fields even mentioned, he was like, you know, Big Ben gets those calls every single time. You know, he's just like, I think his actual quote was, he didn't even care if he gets it every single time. Just every now and then would be okay.
Yeah.
Because he knows he has to still gain that respect to get those calls. But, man, it was pretty bad. And then, I don't know, it's all over Twitter. I'm pretty sure you saw it. Where the Bears linebacker, I guess, number 59, is, like, coming off the field. And the official, like hip checks him. Like, literally sticks his butt out, hip checks the guy, and then throws a penalty on him.
I didn't see that.
You haven't seen that, man. It was like, it was bizarre, man. It was tough to watch just as a fan. And you're just like, come on.
Yeah,
man.
I'm not a big social media, like I'm not on it as much as I probably should be to check up on some of that stuff.
Man, it was,
I did not see that.
Yeah, dude, it was literally, man, like,
sounds like they were,
you're giving
out,
every reason
out
for
to get them, huh?
Yeah, like you're giving Pittsburgh every reason to cover this game, like whatever the spread was, and Chicago just wouldn't go away. And, you know, they ended up beating them late on a field goal, 29-20, I think it was 29-27, if I'm not mistaken. But, yeah, it was just bad, man.
You know what those Justin Fields calls kind of reminds me of?
They probably didn't get Chili's before the game.
Nobody brought the officials Chili's before the game. Yeah, so
that's an inside joke. Those that listen that know what we're talking about will.
But I think it goes back to the Cam Newton thing with the getting hit because Cam Newton never got calls because he's a runner. Justin Fields, he may not be a runner like Cam Newton was a runner, but he's a mobile quarterback.
Yeah.
If you remember, I know this was a long time ago, but Michael Vick really didn't get rough in the passer calls either because he was a runner. Kyler Murray kind of doesn't get those calls either. It's probably solely due to the fact that he's a runner now. Granted, he's throwing the football and getting hit way late, which I don't think there's any excuse for that. But, you know, sometimes I think that may be a reason. Because I know that was a reason with Cam Newton.
You want to go yours next?
No, you roll all through. Right, I read Nollins. I'm getting a whole lot of airtime here, so I want you to go ahead and play your thing out.
All right. My good this week was teams that are below 500, picking up a lot of wins of those terrible teams. Obviously, the one that stuck out to everybody was freaking Jacksonville beating Buffalo off field goals. It was pretty amazing. Just to watch, and you're just like, I mean, you think that game's going on. You're like, it's the Bills. They're going to find a way to win. Josh Allen's going to do his thing. And it just never happened. It was just amazing. Like, amazing to see the Falcons beating the Saints. I get it. The Saints aren't without, or they're without Jameis Winston. They're playing a backup quarterback.
To be fair, Jameis Winston's not a great
quarterback. Yeah, like, he wasn't. Like, and for them to take the lead late, and Atlanta storm down the field on a big pass to Cordell Patterson to get him in the field goal range, kick the game winner. Like, it was just exciting to see.
As shitty as Atlanta is, you can't give Matt Ryan time. Matt Ryan's still a really good quarterback.
Yeah, still Matt Ryan.
You can't give Matt Ryan time to make any kind of play, or you're probably gonna lose.
Yeah, the Broncos. I mean, the Broncos weren't losing, but they were a 500 team. They were 4-4 on a 4-game skid, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, because they were undefeated.
They were 4-0 at one point, and then went on a. Oh, I think they were 3-0, and then went on a skid, something like that. I don't know. They were playing pretty shitty ball,
right?
Is what we're saying. And to go into Dallas, man, and beat the Cowboys with that Dak Prescott there.
Yeah, you're right. They were 3-0. They lost four straight, and now they've won two in a row.
Damn, yeah, like, I mean, just crazy football. New York, the New York fucking football Giants beating the Raiders, like, just crazy, crazy, crazy weekend. I mean, you could also put throw in the Dolphins in there, although they played the Texans. Like, one of that shitty team had a win.
Somebody's gonna. They both can't lose.
Yeah, they both can't lose. But they could have tied technically.
Nah, that's just as good of a win for Houston.
Yeah. So that was my good, was the teams below 500. My bad was the Monday night officiating. We already went into it with Nolan's ugly, because that was pretty ugly. I just couldn't. My ugly, I couldn't pass up. My ugly was Sam Darnold. God. How that guy still has the NFL contract is beyond me. He had so much promise coming into this league, and just horrible.
I think he was kind of built up a little bit too much for maybe not the right reason. Maybe because it was USC and he was wheeling and dealing down there. But
he was a good college quarterback. That's about it. I mean,
I feel like we have that. We talk about that a lot. Like, you're a good college quarterback.
Crazy. I don't know. You want to go into fantasy football?
No, I still got to do my good, bad, nugget.
That's what I was saying. I didn't know. I didn't. You said you were getting a little too much airtime. I didn't know if you
meant,
like,
I just wanted,
cut me off.
Or I just wanted you to go before I did mine, because I did Nolan's.
Okay, see, that's why we a little miscommunication there, but yeah, we figured it out.
We can run over, man. I don't care. We don't have the time czar sitting over there saying to speed it up today. Yeah. So, and, you know, this is going to be a mostly football show anyways. So let's get into that. My good is the Colts' run game. The Colts ran the ball 30 times for 260 yards. 8.7 yards a carry. I know it was the Jets. I get that. I'm not an idiot. But when you can fucking tote the rock like that, you're going to win football games.
Jonathan Taylor is a dude.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. I agree with that 100%.
And coming out of college, I didn't think he was going to be that. I thought he'll be average. He'll be a third down back. No. That dude is a dude. Like,
there was a fly, bro.
There was a fly that just, like, flew right into his face that he tried to catch and didn't catch. And it was pretty hilarious just to watch.
So my bad on the run sheet is the Dallas Cowboy run game. But I'm going to change that to the Dallas Cowboy play calling.
I thought you were going to say the Dallas Cowboys in general.
No, not in general, but the play calling, right? So the reason that it was going to be the run game was because they only had 78 yards on the ground. But they only ran the ball 16 times. That's 4.8 yards a carry, man. Why stop running the ball? If you're getting almost 5 yards a pop,
why?
Run the damn ball. I hate to see it. I'm an offensive line coach, man. I want to pound the rock.
Pay Zeke all this money, man. They've shown that they are a two-headed monster back there.
Feed the beast.
Yes.
And feed the beast's little brother.
Feed
him. Give him the rock. So why stop running is my question. Like, Dallas always wins when they run more than they throw. That is a statistic that I hear Skip Bayless throw out all the time. I want to say that at this point right now, Dallas, since Dak Prescott has been there, 28-0 when they run more than they throw.
Numbers
Why
don't lie.
Do you stop running the football, Dallas? Kellen Moore, get your shit together. You've done a good job. Don't shit the bed now. You're halfway through the year. Get it together. My ugly is Josh Allen. Now, did he play just absolutely horrendous? No, he didn't. He was 31-47, which, that's a lot of throws for Buffalo.
That is.
They don't throw the ball that
shit
much.
Shit
ton. 264 yards. In the NFL, less than 10 yards of completion is usually not very good. No touchdowns, two interceptions. I mean, he did run the ball 5 times for 50 yards, which Josh Allen can do that. He's going to be able to do that.
But were they design runs or...
I don't know. They could have been a couple scrambles. I'm sure that a few of them were designed because he runs a little Q power here and there, you know? Not QB power, Q power.
You told me it was the opposite.
It was a joke. Take it easy.
I'm about to fight over here over this freaking Q and QB.
But to be fair, the Bills were without two of their starting offensive linemen, which probably accounted for the fact that Josh Allen got sacked 4 times. But Josh Allen has been noted as being very good at escaping the pressure, escaping the pocket, making plays on the move. he's always better than what he played. Now, the guy that caused him the most trouble this weekend, which he made 15 jokes about, was Josh Allen.
Right? Yeah, I did. For Jacksonville. Literally every time something happened, I'd be like, Josh Allen just sacked Josh Allen.
Josh Allen also picked off Josh Allen. And Josh Allen recovered a fumble from Josh Allen. Right?
Well, it was funny. The whole funny part of that is Ward did not know what I was talking about.
He had no idea.
Ward was like, how did Josh Allen intercept Josh Allen?
But, I mean, you know, I think that has to do with the offensive line being hurt. But, you know, Josh Allen, I know you don't listen to this, but just in case you do, buddy, you're better than this. Get it together. Get it together. So, you have your fantasy football stuff.
I got a little bit. I'll make it real quick. Our starter of the week, I got Marquez Callaway. Okay. I have him on my team. He's their red zone target, and that's why I like him. And he's either a big play guy or he's going to get touchdowns.
Well, before you continue, you said their red zone target. Let's use our pronouns, baby. Some people don't know who Marquez Callaway is. You have to tell them what team they are.
Well, that's why I'm not telling them, so I can go pick him up in every fucking interview. Okay, you didn't let me fucking finish, Smith. Okay, he's a wide receiver for the Saints. I was going to give you a false name.
I knew that.
I was going to give you a false name there just to be a dick, but...
Pronouns, pal.
Yeah. So, they I'm going to stop saying they because Smith's going to come over here and correct me even though he teaches science. Marquez Callaway, he's a big-time playmaker for them. If they sling the rock to him, it's usually like a 55-yarder, 40-something yard. It's a big-time play.
Yeah.
And then they'll drive it all the way down. And if they can't run it in with Kamara, they throw that fade up to Callaway. And more times than not, he comes down with it. He's a big dude, big red zone target for them. If you have him, I'd start him, mainly because right now in New Orleans, they're trying to figure anything out to win ballgames at this point. You just lost your quarterback, so now you're going to split kind of between Trevor Siemian and Taysom Hill. They don't have Michael Thomas still. All you really have right now is Kamara. So you're trying to find other people to give the ball to. They really like this guy down there. Sean Payton loves this guy at receiver. If you have him, start him. My sit him of the week, it'd probably be the sit him for the rest of the fucking year, honestly. Sam Darnold. Put that guy on your bench. Or better yet, put him on the waiver wire. If anybody picks him up,
more
power to them, I guess. I don't fucking know. Maybe he makes a miraculous saving of his career. In the second half.
I might pick him up because the way that my team's been getting hurt lately, I'm going to need everything that I
can. He's a starting quarterback, so you just never know. And maybe he plays Detroit 6 out of the last 8 weeks of the season. I don't know. If you have him, just sit him. Get rid of him, honestly. You do whatever you can. My sleeper of the week, Alvarez and Smith told me to use this guy last week, and I said, not quite yet. He's on the practice squad. They don't know how they're going to use him. I think he has a big game this week. Adrian motherfucking Peterson.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
AD, baby.
AD, like you said, AD didn't look that bad Sunday night when they played?
Yeah.
Sunday night. I mean, he didn't look that bad. Now, you can tell he's still old. You can tell he's still hurting.
He's not Derrick Henry.
Yeah, he's not Derrick. He's not even Adrian Peterson of old. But he still has a little motor in him.
He's still Adrian Peterson.
He's still Adrian Peterson, you know, and he did get a touchdown last week. I expect him to have about 2 touchdowns this week, to be honest. If you're in DraftKings, I know some of us are in DraftKings. I can't afford that right now, so I'm not in DraftKings. But if I could afford the DraftKings, you have a little spot to fill. You're probably buying them real low right now. I would definitely go with Adrian Peterson as my sleeper of the week. Next, we're going to talk about a little bit of boxing that happened this weekend.
All right, so big-time boxing matchup.
Botching.
I botched that, didn't I? Big-time boxing matchup this weekend. Canelo Alvarez unified all middleweight championships, defeating Caleb Plant. 11th round knockout. That's pretty late for a knockout. I didn't watch the fight, Rick. You did. Tell me a little bit about it.
So Caleb Plant, I believe, was like 21-0. Going into the fight, had never been knocked down before. I saw this with Alvarez, by the way, because he did say in his podcast he was getting the fight and he was grilling. And so I took him up on that offer and I went over there. Man, Canelo's Canelo. This guy coming in, you know, I really didn't know much about him. Seeing the way he fought, man, was like pretty impressive to me. He was, you know, going at Canelo. He wasn't afraid to back down from it. And for and you can even ask Alvarez this. I said, man, this dude's actually, I think, putting up a good fight. And Alvarez didn't think so. He's biased. He really loves Canelo. And
it's his cousin or something.
Yeah, his cousin, brother. I don't fucking know. However, I made this statement, and Alvarez disagreed with me. And I want to see what your thought on this, Smith. Okay, I said if a boxer has a title, okay, and let's say I have the title. You come and you challenge me. All other fights, the only way you're getting that title from me is if you knock me out. Okay? But if it's Canelo fighting, because we were 9 rounds in at this point, okay? This dude's putting up a good fight against Canelo. I mean, it's pretty back and forth. I would say, yes, maybe a little bit more rounds were in Canelo's favor, okay? But in any other fight, the only way you're getting that belt is if you knock me out. We're 9 rounds in. I think it was like a 5-4 match at this point, like in my eyes. And I'm like, dude, this guy's, you know, if he goes 12 rounds, I think he should obtain this belt. And Alvarez said, no, like Canelo's definitely winning this fight. Like, look at him or whatever. And I was like, dude, just because it's...
The card said 5-4 at that point?
I don't think they had put up a card thing yet, to be honest. Or I think it was like
rounds and stuff.
I think it was 6-3, if I'm not mistaken. But I was like, dude, like, any other fighter in the world, that's the only way you're getting the belt is if you knock him out. If Floyd Mayweather has that belt and some other person goes to fight him and they go 12 rounds, who do you think gets the belt, whether they think you beat the fuck out of him or not?
Well, if it goes to decision, probably Floyd Mayweather, yeah.
It's the big name, right? Well, the guy who obtained the belt. Like, you have to straight beat the shit out of that guy if it goes 12 rounds. Like, yeah, you have to be like, hey, dude, there's no doubt in my mind. Like,
I don't
that
know,
guy got his ass kicked.
So, I don't know so much of if it's the name value, but I think it's more of like the championship.
See,
or no, the opposite of that. I don't know if it's a championship. I think it's more the name value. Because if it's like an undercard fight, maybe for the for the featherweight title, and it's two guys that you don't know who the fuck that they are,
it's gonna go to the guy who
and the challenger and the champion are throwing hands, and it goes the decision, and the challenger wins by, you know, unanimous decision or even split decision. He's gonna win the belt. But I think sometimes it comes down to that name, and they don't want that guy to not win.
Yes.
The judges may have a little bit of bias. I don't think that Plant necessarily had to knock him out, but I also think that if some of those rounds are close, they're probably
going to give it to Canelo. Yes, and that's my point I was trying to make with Alvarez, and he kept saying no. Like, he was like, dude, this is, like, what do you mean Canelo's dominating this fight or controlling? I was like, nah, I really don't think so, man. Like, this fight's pretty even. Well, and I mean, and my thing is, I was like, if it ends pretty even, like, 10 times out of 10, they're going to give it to the big name, whether he was the title holder or not. They're going to give it to that guy. And I felt like the only way, if it goes 12 rounds and that dude obtains that title, is if he beat up Canelo pretty good, like, and
nine,
like, knocked him
nine,
out. I mean, knocked him
to three.
Yeah, like, knocked him down once or twice or something. Like, then, yeah, he keeps that title. But if it's like a pretty even fight, they're gonna give it to Canelo just because.
Well, I took a lesson on this in college watching a Mayweather fight, because I don't remember what fight it was, but I remember watching a Floyd Mayweather fight and thinking, man, Floyd's getting dominated. He's not punching. He's on defense the whole time, and he kept winning rounds. The reason he was winning those rounds is because the guy that kept throwing hands at Floyd landed 17% of his punches. Floyd, on the other hand, who's playing defense and
would throw 17 total, and like,
and he's landing 58% of his punches.
Yeah.
Right? So I kind of was confused on that a little bit before, but it comes down to a whole mix of things.
Yes,
man.
And every judge is different. I mean, that's kind of why it's judging, you know?
Yeah, at the end of the day, I agree with you. I think the big name, if it comes down to decision, I think nine
big
times
name.
Out of ten,
the big
game
is
going to
win.
Yeah. But...
But, I mean, in this case, it didn't matter. Canelo knocked him out in the 11th. And, dude, it was weird because, like, that dude was showing no signs of, like, I'm hurting. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this could be over. Like, he was still 11th round, full four. I'm like, dude, this guy's put up a hell of a fight.
He just caught him with one.
It's just caught him with one. And I even said as soon as he went down, right, because he went down, he gets back up, they start going again, and then it was like, oh, fuck, this is over, right? I even said, I said, man, I bet you that first one caught him with his mouth open. Sure enough, that replay showed his mouth was slightly opened to get some air and just right in the chin.
They say that it's the one that you don't see that knocks you out, not the one that you see.
Yeah.
So he must have snuck one in underneath or snuck one in whenever he was looking away from the side. And that may be what caught him.
Yeah, I think so, man. But, I mean, my hat's off, man, to Cato Plant. He, in my eyes, man, was putting up one hell of a fight against
He's a pretty young guy, too, right? So
if I'm not mistaken, yeah, he was.
Yeah, don't be surprised if you're not hearing that name in the future, because I think that Caleb Plant's a young cat.
Yeah, he might be one of those guys that that was like a Canelo, essentially. You know what I mean? Like, Canelo's only loss was to Mayweather, you know?
And this could be maybe Caleb's only loss too. Caleb with a K.
Caleb with a K. We made sure to say that. Not the wrestler. To not get confused with the wrestler, Caleb with a K.
I appreciate the reference there. Impact Wrestling, I'm watching you. I see you. So, Canelo Alvarez wins the belt, unifies all 39 of the middleweight titles across the world. Now, since it's only two of us, we're going to go into a little segment that we kind of made up on the fly, and it's called Miscellaneous. Okay?
I can't even spell that in case you're wondering.
I had to spell check it twice. Miscellaneous basically means anything goes, right? Talk about whatever you want. If there's anything on your mind, like I said in the beginning of this show, this is about entertainment, right? So if there's anything...
This is what you do when there's only two guys here that show up.
If there's anything that you want to talk about before we get into our sports investments, let's hear it. Is there anything that we haven't spoken on yet that you would like to speak about?
I think pretty much we covered almost everything. I mean, there's like a little NBA that we didn't talk about. Like that dude from the Nuggets. I can never say his name right.
Jokic.
Yeah. Just freaking. Joker. Yeah, him and Markieff Morris. Going at it last night. What they called was a hard foul on Markieff Morris. And then the Joker just goes and freaking shoves him in the bag. Little bench clearing for a little bit. What's his name? Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler telling him to, you can meet my ass out back then. You can meet my ass out back then. Like, I mean, got pretty little. Well, Jimmy Butler's from Houston, so.
I'll tell you what happened. Markieff Morris has seen Djokovic, right? MVP. He didn't think that Djokovic was going to do anything about it. You see the way he walked off?
Yeah, he did.
He just kind of walked off like nothing was going to happen. Now, if he would have stood there and gotten Joker's face, I don't know if he would have done anything about it. But the fact that he walked off, Djokovic was like, you know what?
I got to do something. I got to do something about this shit.
You're going to fucking check me like that? I'm going to come at you. And that's what happened. I think the fact that he walked off like that.
And you see how long he stayed down for?
Like, he stayed down. He sold it hard. Now, granted, I watched the replay multiple times, and Joker threw that bow in there pretty hard. But come on, Morris. You can't be
Be soft like that, dude. You can't
lay down on the court like you do.
You can't try to punk somebody out and then have them hit you one time.
Especially if you're going to be a bully.
Yes.
You're being a bully to a guy you don't think is going to do anything. And you know what they say about bullies. The best way to deal with a bully is to walk right up to their face and punch him in the mouth. Now, Jokic walked up to his back and elbowed him. But that's the best way to deal with somebody like that.
Yeah. I mean, other than that, I know Alvarez is a big Spurs fan. Sorry, but they're shitty. They're 3-7. Can't seem to win close games. Like... It's just, I know he wants for them to be so good, and he always says that they're, you know, the, you know, youngest roster and, you know, all this other nonsense that, you know, they're going to be fine and, you know, hopefully they can make a little run and fight into the plane or something. They're awful.
That's going to happen.
They're not very good. If he wants them to be so bad, I don't think they're very good. I think they're so bad that on March 7th, 2022, they play the Lakers, and McCourt should just give me those tickets. That's how bad I think they are. I don't think anybody's going to want to go to that game. I would, but, you know, if that need be to get those off his hands. I'm just trying to help a friend out there at that point.
Yeah, I agree. You know, one of my miscellaneous things, and I wrote it down, But I think I gave you my notes and I kept your notes. So I don't have it in front of my face right now. But the guard from the Cleveland Browns.
The guards.
Okay. The guard from the Cleveland Browns just signed a contract. His name's Wyatt Teller. 4 years, $56.8 million. Go get your money, big homie.
God damn.
Go get your money. That's one of the highest paid guards in the league. If I'm not mistaken, I think that he may be the second highest paid guard. I think I saw that. I don't know who it is, but I'm going to go with the obvious choice and say Quentin Nelson.
That's what I was going to say, maybe, right? Quentin Nelson.
But
isn't he still on rookie contract?
I don't think so. I think he signed a deal last year or the year before. I could be wrong, but...
How long has he been in the league?
Oh, shit. A couple years.
He's what? Rookie deals four?
Three, four. Three.
But they can sign after three?
It depends. Sometimes I think it's three or...
They have a third with a fourth-year player option?
Yeah, usually rookies re-sign after three, which is not the case for Baker Mayfield, by the way. They rode him out on his rookie deal for all 4 years just to see if he was going to make out and be something. But
smart
Wyatt,
on their
part. Wyatt Teller, interior O-lineman, get your money, dog. That's big time. As an offensive line guy, I love seeing
the
big dudes get
paid. That's pretty sweet, man. Pretty sweet to see that.
And Cleveland knows what they're doing because this guy is a fucking monster. You watch the dude play, he is nasty. And you know, if you say nasty about an offensive lineman to their face, they're going to smile. Because they know that that is a big, big, big compliment on the O-line.
He plays with that, like, dog in him. Like,
he's nasty,
like,
yeah, bro.
Yeah, like, it's just the way his demeanor towards things. Is that the right word? I guess you could use
it. Yeah, like he's got a nasty demeanor. He wants... It almost seems like he wants to hurt you when he blocks you.
Yeah, right.
He wants to pancake you.
Plays with that swag.
He wants to put you in the ground and rub it in your face. Probably lay on somebody and do the seal or swim on them. God damn, I love this guy. He plays football the way it's supposed to be played. Hard-nosed, gritty, and nasty.
Nice to see. Nice to see. Damn, how much money did he sign for?
$56.8 million over 4 years.
4 years, 56?
Yeah, that's like $14.2 million a year for a guard.
Oh, my God. Gosh.
Take that to the bank, baby. Wyatt
Teller. All guaranteed?
No, I think it was close to half guaranteed.
That's still insane, man.
Yeah.
For a guard to get that?
Wyatt Teller, here's your flowers, baby.
If we had roses right now.
If I had flowers in my hand and Wyatt Teller was sitting next to me, I'd give them to him. Or actually, I'd probably have to split them in half and give some to him and some to Adrian Peterson because he hasn't left yet. He's still sitting here. But, man, there's been some crazy stuff going on like this, but you know, as far as miscellaneous stuff goes, that's all I had. I just wanted to mention that Wyatt Teller deal because that's big time.
That is big time. That's all I got too. Next, we're gonna go into our sports investments.
So we try to keep this thing kind of on a time restraint a little bit because some of you guys you know, have short attention spans. We know that. We listen to podcasts ourselves, although there are some podcasts that I listen to that range into the 3 hour zone, and I'm just ridiculous about that kind of stuff.
And I think you're the only one that listens to 3 hour podcasts.
Well, some of those podcasts have, you know.
But you listen to them in segments.
Millions. Oh, yeah, I listen to them in the truck. Like, I can listen
not
to
not just 3 hours.
It'll take me like 3 or 4 days sometimes to listen to one of those long ones. Just anytime I get in the truck, usually that's what's on, you know. But I kind of thought that it was amazing how two people, as opposed to four, can talk longer than the four people. But I think that kind of goes to me and you being on the same page, and we just kind of vibe off of each other.
We also just talking like a bunch of random shit, like.
Oh yeah, we got to throw some of that randomization.
Like you use the word miscellaneous, and we just talk about miscellaneous for like 30 seconds.
It's a hard word.
Like
I can't spell it right spell now.
Spell it.
We
get a spell check. It like I don't even think I said it up until now.
I'm looking at the word, and if I looked up and you told me to spell it, I couldn't.
See, like, just shit like that. Like
M-I-S-C-E-L-L, and I'm lost after that. There's like an A in there.
Yeah, that's pretty close. All you needed was the A N O U S.
Yeah, that's stupid.
Oh fuck, I forgot an E. See, A N E O U S.
You were looking at it. And I was to spell it. That's crazy, right? So we're going into the sports investments. It's still brought to you by Bach Trucking. they didn't give us a read for the week, but I think
they probably did. Nolan just didn't give it to us because he's a piece of shit.
Well, really, what I think's happening is our guy Brian Juvers is out there just making money, dude.
Getting that money.
I think that he's just driving a truck, listening to podcasts, and making money. Like last week, that dude made $2,000. If Brian didn't have time to send us a read this week, there's no way he's making less than $2,000.
Oh, he's probably more like a 3 or 4 guy.
He's got to be, right?
Because do you think about it? He probably put that thing together, and that took him a while, you know, to think about what he's going to do. That's time he's not on the road, man.
Yeah, you're right.
That's hours. Yeah.
That's hours. He's invested a lot of time into the show, and if he can't give us a read this week,
he's making that
money.
That 35 to 40 range.
Just like my man Wyatt Teller. Brian Jewers is making that money.
Making money, man.
But we're still brought to you by Bok Trucking. They're still accepting. We've given you the email. We've given you the information. You could drive a truck. You want to make money. Hit up my guy. So we're going to go with our recap for our sports investment stuff. Rick, you want to take over that? And yeah. I am going to listen with a big smile on my face while you do it.
Not only last week in college football went 1-2. I also went 1-2 in college football. Our NFL picks, he went 1-2. I went 0-3, man. Ever since Not only giving the name Ricky Fire.
You have completely shit the bed.
Shit the bed, man. I don't know what the fuck's got into me. Grant, but then again, you know, NFL, I don't think anybody fucking got NFL right last week.
No, definitely not.
Like, you know, there are some that you kind of maybe would have gone with, but for the most part, like, I'm pretty sure most people fucking took the Bills to cover. Shit the bed. Like, most people probably thought fucking Dallas was going to cover. Shit the bed. Like, most people thought
you have Dallas as a pick on yours?
Yeah, I did.
That's most people.
And then, like, probably some people fucking Aaron Rodgers-less fucking Green Bay. They're probably thinking, oh, Kansas City's going to get this shit done. They don't have Aaron Rodgers. That did not fucking happen. Like, what the fuck is going on? I don't know. But that leaves Nowlin at 14-6-1 for college football. I'm still at 10-4, so that's still not bad.
Those are still pretty good records. I'm still listening to us betting any money.
Our NFL leaves Nowlin at 8-10, and I am at a dead even 500 at 7-7. Call me the fucking Dallas Cowboys.
Jason Garrett.
Yeah, Jason Garrett, Dallas Cowboys, baby. Nolan's lock of the week last week, he fucking won.
He hit it. Ever since they've been shitting on Nolan, his lock of the week's been bad. He's got it together. He's been a solid 3-3 now.
I think we called it a fade of the week, and he's gone like, I think he's won his last like two to make him mad even. He's fucking, he is Jason Garrett, Dallas Cowboys.
Jason fucking Garrett.
Lock of
Jason
the week.
Nolan, Jason Garrett. Same first shit. Name, same person.
Same person, same lock of the week, same fucking 500 record. Goddamn. His bad beat of the week, he didn't really have one. I couldn't think of a bad beat of the week, the Bills getting their ass whooped.
Unless you bet like the first half of the Coastal game, which was kind of insane, and I don't even know the lines, I just know that something weird was going on in that game. Unless you bet the first half of Coastal Carolina, which I don't think anybody listening to this did, and nobody even knows what I'm talking about because I barely know what I'm talking about, you're probably okay.
So, our why you shouldn't drink and bet, it's drunk pick of the week. He gave us 3 last week, and he went 1-2.
He did.
So that made him 2-3 so far. What is it? To be fair, his locks. He said, oh, that's my lock of the week. That is 2-0.
Yeah. The only two games that he's won in his drunk picks have been his locks.
Yeah.
The one that he says, I guarantee this one. Yeah. He's won both of those.
That's the one where, like, last week was UTSA. UTSA. He's like, UTSA minus 11. That's my lock of locks.
Yeah.
That's what he says, lock of locks.
And then he picked the over in the Notre Dame Navy game because he said that Notre Dame wasn't going to be able to stop the triple option bullshit.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure Navy only scored 3 points in that game. So, Edward, they stopped the triple option bullshit.
One thing he did take, and it threw me off this week. Ed is known to chase points. He's an over guy. Whatever the line, he's going to bet the fucking over.
He always says, life's too short to bet the under.
Yes, life's too short to bet the under. He always chases points. He took the fucking under in the Kansas City-Green Bay game and fucking was right. It's the only time I've ever placed a bet for him where he took the under. I didn't know if it was real life. I had to slap myself a few times, like, what the fuck's going on right now?
Am I having a dream?
But he hit it. He hit it. He didn't hit the parlay, though, because I forgot who it was that fucked it up for him.
Probably Buffalo. God damn, Josh.
No, it was afternoon games. I can't think of what afternoon games were last week. But he took the under in that game, somebody else to cover, and somebody else to cover. I don't know what the fuck it was. But what was one of those that wasn't supposed to happen? Fucking that. Oh, the Rams fucked it up for him at -7.5. Because Matthew Stafford
played like shit.
Yeah. Oh, well. Now I'm going to have some... Oh, no, I'm going to go into my college football. My fault. Let me go into my college football picks this week. My first pick, I have Ole Miss +2.5. Against Texas A&M University. I almost said Texas A&M University San Antonio. They do not have a football team, and if they did, the 2.5, I'd fucking bet my mortgage on it if they were given 2.5. Ole Miss could score some points. A&M is playing really, really good. They're playing for, you know, something to win. They need, you know, a miracle kind of to happen. Very well possibly could happen. But I think Ole Miss still is in that range too. You know, yeah. If some stuff can go their way, they get badass. Marissa just got home right now and brought some cookies from the mall.
Oh, baby.
And fucking me and Smith are about to fuck those up here in a little bit. However, I think Ole Miss is still playing for some life there, in hopes to get into the SEC championship. And they're giving 2.5 at home against A&M. I would lock that in if I were you. My second one, I have Arizona State at Washington. Arizona State's 5.5 favorite on the road.
Mm.
Washington's just not good. Like, they're not good. And Arizona State, not playing bad. Herm Edwards has that program kind of in that iffy spot right now where they're his recruits, but they're kind of getting used to his program type stuff. I don't know. It's a little weird. But 5.5 isn't much. That's, you know, that's a touchdown. They win by a touchdown, you win.
Yeah.
Even if they miss the extra point, you win. Like, crazy. I would take Arizona State, even though they're on the road. It's just Washington's not good. It's Pac-12. No one's going to watch it anyway. Fucking 12 viewers, maybe, for the Pac-12. And that's including the people in the stands.
That's probably just the committee, if they even watch
it. If they watch it. I mean, they think the only games they're really paying attention on is Oregon. And they're not really giving them much of a look either. They kind of just have them at number 4 this week. And hopes that they just keep winning. My last pick for the week is Hawaii at UNLV. Hawaii is a 3-point favorite. UNLV, if I'm not mistaken, has won one fucking game.
They're awful, coach.
They are bad.
They've played people tough, but they're not very good.
They're not. And Hawaii is one of those sleeper teams that, like, is, I mean, they're fucking in their own little island over there. But they play some good football from time to time. And it's usually they kind of play to their competition. Like, they always play Fresno. Fresno State pretty tough. Then shitty teams will kind of shit the bed against them.
Yeah.
But it's UNLV. As long as those guys don't get there and fucking hit up the Vegas Strip, I think they're going to be fine. Because they're playing in Vegas. So, but I think they're fine. I think they cover the 3. I think they're more of like a 17-point win. Ooh. And that might be selling them short, honestly. Ooh. Hawaii's just not very good. What is Nolan got over there?
Well, before I even get into to Coach Nolens, I will say one of my best friends is a football coach at Utah State.
Aggies!
Yeah, go Aggies! They went to UNLV the other day. They got to play in the, what do they call it, the Death Star?
Yeah, right. Some shit like that.
The Death Star. Sent me some Snapchats. Pretty badass. Just on the field stuff, man. Little videos, little Snapchats. You know, it's pretty sweet there. And Utah State was a lot better than those guys, and they played them pretty tough. I think Utah State won that game by 2.
Oh, shit.
So, you know, I would probably stick with your pick.
Who?
Utah State.
Gives a fuck. Smith, they're going to fucking go in there and dominate this game.
Sorry, Ethan. I know you do listen to this podcast. He doesn't know you. I apologize.
my bad, Ethan.
But I would probably stick with your Hawaii thing. I think Hawaii is a lot better than UNLV. So Nolan's college football picks of the week. His first one is Michigan +1.5 at Penn State. So Michigan's going in a 1.5 dog at Penn State. You know, I don't know what Nolan would say about this, but
I think he thinks they win.
In my personal opinion, I think Michigan is two rungs above Penn State on the ladder. I think they're going to go in, probably win by 10, in my opinion. Like I said, don't. Don't quote me because, I don't know what Nolan would say, but he does have Michigan 1.5 over Penn State at Penn State. Nolan's second one, which I happen to absolutely love.
It's fucking stupid.
Oklahoma -5.5 at Baylor. So I could go on and on and on about this game. All I'm going to say is Nolan will get this right. Oklahoma will win by more than 6 points. They're going to beat Baylor handsomely, I might add. That's a good choice. And then his third one is actually the same as you. He has Ole Miss +2.5 at Texas A&M as well. I personally think that both of you are wrong. I think Texas A&M goes into Ole Miss and beats them.
You think A&M wins?
Yes.
What the fuck?
I think A&M beats Ole Miss.
I don't think I'd ever heard those words come out of your mouth in my life.
They've never come out of my mouth.
Until today.
But I think A&M goes into Oxford, and I think that they...
Well, they're given 2.5, so they fucking win by 2.
I think they go in there
and they... We still win some money.
They go in there and they beat Ole Miss by 10.
Holy shit, Smith.
I think... I really...
Did you fucking get concussed from now, like from the beginning of the episode to now, and I just missed it or something?
I'm not a huge fan of Texas A&M. But I think they're going to go beat them. I think it's going to be a good game.
Jesus.
But I think Texas A&M is going to pull away late.
Well, Nolan right now is 3 for 3 on his lock of the week. And I think this is the point where he goes over. And he wins 4 games in his lock. Because the Ole Miss pick is Nolan's lock of the week.
It actually says Nolan's Ice King.
Nolan
is the Ice King. I guess that's just to oppose Ricky Fire.
Ricky Fire. Right?
The Ice King. Nolan's that is his lock of the week.
Like
Ole Miss +2.5. If you're one of the guys that ride with Nolan on that lock, take it. In my opinion, and I'm not a better, I would not take that. But, you know, that's just me. Okay, so now I'm going to go into Nolan's top three NFL picks of the week. He has the Saints +2.5 at Tennessee. He thinks that the Saints are going to go in there and maybe win. I don't know if he expects Tennessee to win by one or win by two or the Saints to win the game.
Well,
but
he might be into my theory there. After a really big win,
comes
a really bad loss.
I like Tennessee. New Orleans is playing with the backup quarterback. I think this one's kind of shaky, but, you know, like I said, if you roll with Nolan and his 8-10 NFL picks, then go ahead and do that. His next one, which just looking at the name makes me laugh. Detroit +9 at Pittsburgh.
Don't fucking do it.
That is a huge line for the NFL. 9 points is enormous in the league, but Detroit is a dumpster fire that is inside of a dump yard that is also on fire.
Detroit is
not good at football, but Nolan has him as one of his top three NFL picks of the week. And then his third one, which I'm going to just completely shit on, is the Chargers at home, 2.5-point favorites against my Minnesota Vikings. Nolan, I told you I was going to shit on you for this. I'm going to shit on you for this. You might be right, but since you picked against my Vikings, go fuck yourself. Rick, you have your NFL picks of the week?
So, my first NFL pick is complete opposite of Nolan's. I think Tennessee keeps it rolling. I got Tennessee -2.5 at home against New Orleans. I think New Orleans is still trying to figure their stuff out over there. They should have won this past week against Atlanta. Let that one slip away late. I still think Tennessee's Tennessee, man. Even without Derrick Henry, you know, people question them. No, they're not going to be as good. And, you know, Ryan Tannehill's still a wide receiver playing fucking quarterback, but he's getting it fucking done, man. Their defense is playing. I think their defense knows they have to play good right now. And they stepped up last week against Matt Stafford, made him make some bad decisions. That dude off the line, I don't even remember his name, the one that just tore them up, like, straight, just ate them alive.
I'm not sure. But I know what you're talking about.
But hats off to that dude. I think he has another big game, man. I don't think New Orleans. I think New Orleans is still trying to find their identity. I think
they have an average offensive line. They have a backup quarterback playing, maybe two backup
quarterbacks. Yeah, I mean, you don't know at this point.
I said it whenever I said Nolens. I don't like it. I do like Ricks. I would take Tennessee.
-3.5. My next one I have is Cleveland. Yes, the Cleveland Browns at New England, given 1.5.
Ooh, that's a small margin.
It is. I think that Cleveland goes into this game and wins. Mm. Cleveland is playing some fired up football right now, dude.
You know Nick Chubb got COVID, right?
He did get COVID, and I really don't think it matters, to be honest. He is vaccinated, so as long as he has two negative tests within 24 hours, he's good to go. And I think he has all the way up until Saturday, like at 4?
It is Saturday. I do know that it's Saturday. I'm not sure about the time, but yeah, the day is on Saturday.
It is on Saturday. Whether or not, I mean, they said the only healthy back they have right now is D'Ernest Johnson.
I picked him up on fantasy.
Yeah.
Did wonders for me.
He might do wonders again for you if Nick Chubb's out this week. I just think they're going. I think ever since they got rid of Odell, I feel like Odell was a cancer in that locker room.
I agree.
Without verbally being that cancer. Like, now they got rid of him, and it just seems like they're back to the Browns that we thought they were going to be.
Well, if you look at Baker Mayfield's stats, he's better when Odell does not play than when Odell does play.
I feel like he tries to give Odell the ball sometimes instead of
reading his defense like a quarterback should read his defense. He tries to force stuff to OBJ, which he shouldn't be doing.
Yeah. So that was my second pick. My last pick, I have the Las Vegas Raiders at home against Kansas City. They are given 2.5. Las Vegas just had a very bad loss to New York. Very, very bad loss. Okay. Kansas City just had a very ugly win against the Aaron Rodgers-less Green Bay Packers.
Much needed win.
I think this goes one of two ways. If Las Vegas is able to keep rolling in a division game against Kansas City and win, Vegas might take off from here. However, Kansas City just picked up a much needed win. This is their opportunity to feed off of that.
You think they got the fire lit back under their ass?
I don't think so. That's why I'm going Vegas here. I just don't think that. I still think they look confused. Patrick Mahomes is worried about his brother making TikToks.
And his wife,
apparently. Good God.
It's embarrassing.
It's a shit show over there.
It's embarrassing. That may be why he's losing. So his brother doesn't make TikToks anymore.
Yeah. I don't know.
He may be throwing games on purpose. Doing some real Paul Crew shit out here.
Just to get him fucking out. Speaking of Paul Crew, fucking hats off to fucking Henry Ruggs. Joined Paul Crew's team as of late.
The mean machine.
They
need another receiver. Michael Irvin can do it all by himself.
Yeah. Nelly's still back there. I think they still gives him a good firepower.
Goldberg's still playing middle linebacker for him.
Yeah, they'll be fine.
Terry Crews is their tight end. They're okay.
They're going to be all right. But yeah, for the Raiders. The Raiders are giving 2.5, man. At home, like, I don't know. I just don't see, like, the Chiefs win. I mean, yeah, the Chiefs won one game, and it's like, oh, they're back. Like, no, they won one game by 6 against a backup quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I don't see it. Vegas. +2.5 at home against the Chiefs. Smith, you're going to close us off?
Well, those are Ricky Fire's NFL picks. He is 7-7, and I've said multiple times that a wise man told me that if you're going to bet, you have to be around that 58% range, and you're at 50%, so it's pretty close to 58. I like all of Ricky's NFL picks. I'm not a big fan of Nolan's NFL picks. Nor his college football picks by that means, other than the Oklahoma pick going to Baylor. But that may be my personal bias, jumping in on that one. But yeah, to close us out, man, I'm going to thank Rick for being here, right? Those other guys, man, I know that they wanted to be here. They had some extenuating circumstances, as I like to say, reason that they couldn't be here. Rick is still the only one that's been on every single episode, all 8 of them.
Still on it, baby. You're still found a way.
Still here, still rolling.
I'm undefeated. I'm 8-0.
So thank you for that. And you guys, man, we got a little bit of feedback from you guys. So we changed a couple of things up just based off of what you guys have been telling us, but keep bringing that feedback, man. We love the feedback. We want the feedback. Whatever what you guys tell us helps us get better for you. So keep giving that to us, man. And like I say all the time, man, thank you guys for listening. We love you guys. We do this for you. It's not for us. Now, granted, we have a lot of fun doing this, sitting here talking about whatever we want to talk about as far as the sports world goes, which the majority of our talk is football normally, but that's what we are, man. We're football guys. But thank you again for listening. We love you. We appreciate you. And we'll catch you next week.